Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local, independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Back now to more of the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Friday evening. 404-726-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We will talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. So he did text us back, and he was, what was he, at a dinner, you know, busy and all that good kind of stuff. So we will talk to him coming up at 8:20. 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Matt Michelle, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. He'll come up at 9 o'clock. We'll talk to D. Led here in about 20 minutes. This course, tonight, look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So Pro Football Focus had their three players to build around for every NFC team. So, for instance, the Cardinals had Kyler Murray, Paris Johnson Jr., the offensive tackle, and safety Buda Baker. Now, they may want to build around Buda Baker, but I don't know if Buda Baker wants to build around them. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. For the Panthers, they have Bryce Young, Brian Burns, and Derek Brown. Now, just craps and giggles, okay? Just let me ask you, Dom. Like, okay, Bryce Young, edge player, Brian Burns, defensive lineman, Derek Brown. What's the furthest any of those guys stand from the football?
Oh, they're all pretty close.
Okay.
All right. Pretty close.
All right, let's go to the New Orleans Saints. Chris Olave, Ryan Ramczyk, Marshawn Lattimore. How many guys stand close to the football on whatever side of the ball you're on? Like how many guys of Chris Olave at wide receiver, cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, mm-hmm. and offensive tackle Ryan Ramczyk. Do they have any guys that stand close to the football?
Outside of Ryan, those other two, not so close.
So, but they have one?
They got one. Okay. Yeah, they got one.
All right. Tampa. Tristan Wirfs, Vita Vea, Chris Godwin.
That's two.
Okay. All right. Who do you think they have for the Falcons?
I'm going to assume Kyle Pitts has to be one of them.
Okay.
I would assume A.J. Terrell.
Mm-hmm. say your wide receiver.
I was going to say, is it Drake London?
So, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, A.J. Terrell. How close to the football do any of those guys play?
They're all pretty far away from the ball to start.
All right. Here's what they write up. Atlanta's overhauled roster is now chock full of young talent, but their back-to-back top 10 picks at pass catcher need to be the focal point of the passing attack going forward. What passing attack? Again, how much are we going to throw it, folks? We're quick to forget that Kyle Pitts became only the second tight end in NFL history with 1,000 receiving yards as a rookie. Yes, 1,026 yards and 2 touchdowns. How many games did they win that? Dom, ask me how many games they won.
How many games
7
did they win?
Entering year 3, he's still a full year younger than first round Dalton Kincaid. I don't care about Dalton Kincaid. I care about being Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
Again, that's the last guy I'm worried about. Dalton Kincaid. That's a stupid comparison. But they love Kyle Pitts. I mean, they love them some Kyle Pitts. London had a similarly impressive rookie campaign with his 85.3 receiving grade, the 10th best among all wide receivers on the season. These two big-bodied long striders are a great foundation to add receiving options with diverse skills around. Terrell had a down season in 2022, but he's already proven to be one of the best young corners in the NFL. 85.6 coverage grade in 2021, ranked 2nd in the NFL at the position, only behind Jalen Ramsey. With a vastly improved defensive line playing in front of him, expect a bounce-back year from A.J. Terrell. And I truly believe that you don't generate sacks because you have good secondary play. Either your guys can get home or you can't get home. It's that simple.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very rare that, you know, sometimes you hear that, oh, that was a coverage sack.
Mm-hmm.
Those happen, but think about how often you hear that actually said during a game.
Well, here again, though. Okay, this is how I've explained it. And let's give you a little edumacation on all this, okay? It's not 1978 anymore, okay, where you have 2 wide receivers, maybe a tight end, or maybe a running back out in the flat, okay? That's how football was played back then, okay? Now you have 4, 5, 6 guys that run all around on the field, and they all can't get covered. You're not going to be able to cover everybody. So again, I don't care how good your secondary is. In today's modern NFL, you have so many guys that are running around in patterns, so many guys in all different parts of the field that are trying to get open to catch passes because the league throws it every down, right? And so when you have that, you can't cover. You don't have 6 great starting corners on a team. It's not how it works. Somebody's going to be open. Now, you may not have a quarterback that's worth a crap to deliver the football, but somebody's always going to be open. And if you can't get to the other team's quarterback in a shortened amount of time, again, we've seen bum quarterbacks pick us apart. We've seen that. We've seen less than stellar quarterbacks. We saw Taylor Heineke pick us apart. We've seen less than quarterbacks pick us all apart. If you can't get home with your front 4, 7, whatever, you know, the idea of coverage sacks is just, it's just kind of ridiculous. The only thing I'll say is there's not an impact player. When you talk about Pitts, London, Terrell, got no problem with those guys. And I want to build around those guys. I want A.J. Terrell on this football team. I want Pitts and London on this football team. But it is telling that we don't have a guy that is a line of scrimmage player that we don't necessarily build around.
If you look at the advanced analytics, the more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are. And this.
Can I hear that again?
Of course.
The more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are.
Okay. Um, four Falcons who may be on the roster bubble on offense. And this is kind of an interesting list, you know, just looking at a couple of these guys on here. Keith Smith is a guy who – this is from the Falcoholic. Felipe Franks. Can I tell you – can I just be honest? Okay. What's the point of keeping Felipe Franks on this roster? Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What exactly does he do?
He's like, he was a quarterback at first, and then
again,
as the movie, tight end.
Right. As the movie said, less than zero.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's no surprise. Keith Smith might be a little bit of a surprise. Frank Darby. Okay. Can I tell you that since Frank Darby was drafted, what, in the seventh round? Okay. This has become folklore. This has become Paul Bunyan. Again, I keep hearing about, well, Frank Darby could do. Frank Darby? Frank Darby has, are you ready? Are you sitting down? He has two catches in 2 years. Two! This guy, they talk about this guy like he's Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, Darby's a speed guy. Darby can do this. Well, where does it start showing? We talk about wanting more wide receivers. Okay. Here's a guy who's caught two passes in 2 years. He's caught two more than I have. Can we stop with the Frank Darby talk? Can we stop? Oh, he could be a weapon. He could be... Where? When? For what team? In the USFL? For the XFL? And then they have Jalen Mayfield. I'll tell you, I mean, if Jalen Mayfield doesn't look competent, he's getting cut. Why would you hang on to Jalen Mayfield? For what reason? Because you drafted him? If he stinks, he stinks. I'm not mad at him if he stinks. I mean, it is what it is. He stinks. Cut bait. Give that roster spot to some. Again, if I can improve the 53rd man on my roster, I improve the 53rd man on my roster. Was Bill Parcells a good coach?
Yeah.
Did he win in the league?
Yeah.
Does he know a thing or two about football?
Just a little bit.
Play that Josh Kendall football. Let me hear that. Just
if you look at the advanced analytics, the more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are.
All right, Jerry Gray talking about some of the members of his secondary on Jesse Bates. Quote, he's a good football player, and you look at him and he's made a lot of plays within Cincinnati's defense, a defense that was really good. We need a guy like him. I love his leadership. I love the way he plays on the football field, and you talk to him and you see the same thing. He's always talking about game planning, doing this, getting guys together, being together. That's critical when you're in the NFL. A lot of guys, they don't understand that extra time that you need to be really good, and you could see it. They were really good on defense on Cincinnati, and we want guys like that. Could they sack the quarterback? Say yes.
Yeah, they could.
Oh, okay. Did they have a fire breather coming off the edge? Say
they had a couple guys.
Yeah. Did they have a guy that set their franchise record for sacks the year they went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Play that Josh Kendall clip one more time. Let me make sure I heard it right.
If you look at the advanced analytics, the more you look at the advanced analytics,
uh-huh,
the more you see how valuable sacks are.
On AJ Terrell, Jeff Okuda pairing. Number one, you have two first-round draft picks. They were really good in college. The thing is that AJ did a great job in his second year going and being an all-pro. Now we have to get Jeff to do the same thing and that he did when he was at Ohio State. You have two competitors, and you know they can compete because they wouldn't get drafted in the first round. You have great skills. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten drafted in the first round. Now we have to blend those two guys together. I agree. I'll be honest with you. Whatever Jerry Gray says is gospel in my book. and let those guys use what they and let those guys see that when you have two great players on opposite sides, now they can't just target one guy. That's what we're trying to do. Get them to understand if you've got a you've got good football players on this team and learned to compete at a high level now. When we go on Sunday, the job isn't going to be easier, but you have a better chance of winning that game. On how Jesse Bates makes people around him better. Number one, he did his job, but also communicated. He's talking. He's doing things that you see on film and you're wondering, okay, how'd they do that? Because you know that is, it's not always coaching. Trust me. It's a little bit past that. And I understand that when guys on the football field can take something from the meeting and say, hey, guys, Richie, Hawk, we're going to do this. This is how we're going to get it done. Let's go make sure the coaches understand this is how we see it, and now we're going to take it to the field. Then on Sunday, they do exactly what they say they're going to do. That's when you're going to get more trust, and that's when you're going to that's when they're going to make some plays, and you're going to get more trust out of coaches. But the thing is that when you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, you get less trust. That's the thing we're looking for, and we want them to bring here. Interesting stuff. I'm telling you, that's the best move that they made in the offseason, is getting Jerry Gray in here. I think it'll pay big dividends for this defense, for this secondary especially. All right, D-Led going to join us. Chuck from the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Are you ready? Back
with more John.
It's the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Friday night with you. 404-726-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Falcons less than 2 weeks away from the start of training camp. We will obviously be large and in charge out there. We'll have all kinds of camp coverage for you. What do they call them? The morning shaft? They'll be out there. Andy and Randy will be out there. Chuck House. What is that called? What's that show called?
Steakhouse.
Chuck House. All right, so they'll be out there as well. So we'll have everybody out there. Dukes and Bell, they'll be hanging out at the Hooters up there by the Mall of Georgia where they were last year. They had a good time up there last year. And where will we be? Oh, sorry, we're in studio. Okay. All right. Well, listen, this guy will be out there at the training camp. Head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. He, of course, the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. Follow him on Twitter, at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, as always, buddy, appreciate it. And, you know, I guess we're less than 2 weeks away from it all getting cranked back up.
Yeah, no question about it, John. We started in our eight-part position-by-position series on Sunday. It's online right now. We talked to Bijan Robinson last week to kind of get a feel for his mind space as he heads into the season. That's a pretty big one. We'll slide on through the offense and defense and then wrap up with the quarterbacks here as we get ready for training camp 2023.
So let me ask you about Kyle Pitts. Obviously, you know, he's not going to play in the preseason. We heard Arthur Smith talk a few weeks ago about the idea of that they expect everybody to be ready for week number one, and that was implied to be Kyle Pitts as well. What has he been doing as far as, is he rehabbing yet? Is he running yet? Like, what's kind of his game plan for what, you know, this part of the offseason leading into week one is going to be?
Yeah, it'll be more of an ease back in. You know, Tyquan Graham suffered a similar knee injury, but he's back out there. Kyle Pitts is taking another approach here. We haven't seen him, so we don't know. We do know the quarterback has lamented that he hasn't been able to get that connection started with him. So, you know, he would like to have been putting some time on task with Kyle. So we're expecting that he's going to be full go. We'll take the coach at his word, and, you know, we'll report on it from there.
You know, D-Led, I think one of the false narratives that a lot of the national media has put out is this idea of, well, we need more pass catchers. And when I look at Robinson, Algier, Jonnu Smith, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Scotty Miller, you know, again, when I look at all of the guys that can catch the football, for an offense that is not going to be a huck-it-all-around type of offense, do you think we need more pass catchers on this roster? Or, you know, do you think we have enough guys at enough different positions that we can catch the football?
I don't. I agree with that. But I'm used to Roddy White and Julio Jones being right out there. You know, that's what I – you know, you got two top high-level guys. I only see one high-level guy. Maybe two, and they're both in their second and third year. So I don't know if Drake London can continue to do that and if Kyle Pitts was a fluke. Scotty Miller's been a part-time player. Mack Howell's been a part-time player. Cordarrelle Hogg's been a special teamer. You know, you're trying to find some guys that when you do throw the ball, you want them to be able to catch it and know they're going to be able to do some damage with it. And I don't see a lot of those guys on the roster right now.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So how much do you think – I know Matt Hennessy was taking the first rep in their OTAs, the mandatory minicamps or what have you. What do you think the plan is – for Bergeron? Do they work him in slowly to see how he adjusts to playing guard, or do you think that they throw him right to the wolves and just, you know, see if he can handle the job and potentially win this starting job?
Yeah, I think they are going to go slow with him. It is a conversion. They've tried the conversion before. It didn't work with Jalen Mayfield. And I just talked to Jake Matthews about it, and he said, hey, if the guy's out there and he's messed up, we're all messed up. So Hennessy's got a floor for him, for them to set until Bergeron's ready to go. Now, you know, they tried to do the Dahlman Hennessy rotation at center as a rookie. So I could see them trying to work Bergeron in over time. But, yeah, they got a floor. They got the benefit of Hennessy, and they're going to probably take advantage of it until they can get this kid ready to play.
So is there any competition at center for Drew Dahlman? Or, I mean, is it just, you know, put in ink that he's going to be our starting center come this year?
Yeah, I don't see any competition on the roster. He's a guy they like, and he's a guy that they got to believe he can get better than what he did last year. He's a technician. He's not going to line up and, you know, just drive people 10 yeah. yards down the field. So that's the way they've elected to go at that position. And, you know, with Coach being a former offensive lineman, kind of got to go with his judgment on that.
So do you see Jalen Mayfield making this team? I mean, can he do enough to instill confidence back on this roster? Do they move him back to guard? Like, what do you think the prognosis is for Jalen Mayfield on this team?
Not very good if you just do it from a football perspective, but we know that people don't want to cut their draft picks. And he was one of their draft picks and a third-round pick. They moved him back to tackle because they said, hey, if you're not going to start, you got to be able to play a couple different spots. So is he going to be the best swing tackle or the best swing guard tackle, you know, on the second line? And, you know, there's a lot of bodies in that group that he's going to have to fight through to earn that eighth or ninth spot, because you only get eight on game day and only 10 for the roster. So he could probably make the team, but probably maybe not the game day roster.
Let's switch over to the defensive side of the football. You know, Lorenzo Carter was a guy who I think when you look, I want to say it was about 75% of the snaps that he played on defense last year. He played a high percentage when you look at his overall snap count. Do you think that stays the same, or is that going to be something that you know, drops as Ebba Cady and Caden Ellis and some of these guys, you know, obviously start playing more on this defense?
Yeah, I think it will. You know, that they got a floor there again with him. They know what Lorenzo can do while they're trying to develop these other guys and bring them along and unleash them, hopefully, so they can get themselves a pass rush here. But, yeah, I think it's the same thing where you get a chance to, you know, go out and play with a pro. And if somebody beats him out, then you put him in there and go from there.
What do you think the expectation for Jesse Bates should be? I mean, should this be a guy? And I know, look, he's been a second-team All-Pro a few years ago with Cincinnati. And, you know, he's, you know, grades out as one of the better safeties in the NFL. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, D-Led. I mean, if he's not, you know, for what they paid, if he's not a second team kind of All-Pro caliber player, I have my questions about, you know, okay, why did we spend $64 million on a safety if we can't get to the quarterback?
Yeah, I expect him to show up at the ball 10 to 15 times a game, you know, whether it's coming up in the run game or tracking stuff down from a single high safety position. He's a ball hawk, and that's what I expect him to do. And if you got a safety like that that's closing down plays and taking care of the deep stuff, that makes your defense a whole lot better. You just need certainly a pass rush will help him out. But, I mean, if he's back there for 10 seconds, he ain't going to you know, ain't gonna be too much he can do. But if they can cut that down and get to the quarterback, and I just expect to see him when I watch the Falcons, if the ball gets out, I expect to see him showing up at the ball.
So, D-Led, what then becomes of Jalen Hawkins, Richie Grant? I mean, what do you think the role ends up being? Do they kind of split time? Does Richie Grant secure that safety spot and Jalen Hawkins kind of works himself in? Like, what do you think the two young safeties' role now is with a Jesse Bates, who's kind of the clear leader now of, you know, of that defensive, you know, safety spot?
Yeah, that's going to give you some options on third down. I'm expecting Richie to take it over on first and second. Then on third down, hey, you can put Richie at a big nickel and put Jalen in there at the other safety spot. Either send Richie or have him cover a bigger receiver or a tight end. You got some interchangeable parts to play a big nickel three safety package with now with Hawkins and Grant. Or, you know, go smaller nickel package if the slot receiver is a little guy. You know, I know if you're playing Tampa Bay, you're going to want a bigger guy on Goodwin who's killed a lot of people in them in the past. But you get the little fast, speedy slot guy, then, you know, maybe Clark Phillips or Mikey Hayes is your nickel. You got some options now with the addition of Bates with your safety rotation. And you got to find you a smaller nickelback, too, for Mikey Hughes or Clark Phillips or somebody that can cover the little fast guys on the crossing routes and so forth. So the new coach has got some options, and, you know, that's a good thing.
So is a guy like Clark Phillips a guy that you think can start right away if he needs to? I'm not saying that he starts 17 games or anything like that, but you can work him into the starting lineup? I mean, is he a guy that – you think can be a starter for this team potentially as we move through the season?
I think he's a nickelback. I don't think he's an outside starter. What I saw of him being real physical, coming up and tackling people, keeping stuff in front of him, I don't believe he can turn and run with the faster receivers in the league. That's why he lasted to the fourth round. But certainly he's a football player to play in tight spaces. So that's how I have him rated. If they're starting him at corner, they're going to be playing a whole lot of zone.
What about former first-round pick Mike Hughes? How does he fit into this? Does he kind of become your starting nickel corner, or, you know, what do you see his role being?
Yeah, depth nickel corner. I think they want Phillips to beat him out. Hughes has not been able to maintain a starting spot in three different places. So, you know, for all of a sudden to think he's going to come in and be Deion Sanders, not really fair. But he is a pro with good speed and intangibles. He has played in some games. But, yeah, if you're counting on him to be a starter-level guy, you know, you kind of already seen that.
Last question for you, D-Led. Who do you think ends up winning the punt return job when all is said and done? Is that going to be one of those things that there's going to be a lot of competition for that with obviously Avery Williams out for the year?
Yeah, no doubt. Josh Ali is a guy to keep your eye on. Dee Alford was mentioned. And I really, you know, haven't studied it much past that. But they had a lot of people back there taking punts. Even Bijan was taking some punts during OTAs. I definitely don't expect to see that. But, yeah, Josh Allen's the dark horse for me. Dee Alford, and we'll get into camp and see, you know, who's all back there on the first few days and so forth to see who's going to take over for Avery Williams at the punt returner job.
I said last question, but I want to ask about, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson will obviously return kicks. You know, I think he's had maybe like one or two punt returns in his NFL career. Would there be any thought about putting him back there as a punt returner?
No, I don't think. I think he's a straight kickoff guy. They haven't. I think he might have returned some as a rookie in Minnesota, but I don't see that being a thing for them to do. But you know, we got to kind of leave it as an open space for now on somebody that's you know, could make a contribution and find them a spot to the roster via the punt return position.
Well, that will be an interesting battle because I don't know that there's a great solution to that past Avery Williams. So, D. Orlando Ledbetter, you can check out all of his work at AJC.com. He is the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check him out on his Twitter page, at D. Orlando AJC, and join me on the WadeFord.com hotline. D. Led, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes. We will chat again soon.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me.
You got it. D-Led is such an enthusiastic guy. I love D-Led. I do. I like sitting down and talking with D-Led. Like, I've had a chance to just kind of sit with him and talk football and just kind of talk to him and just love D-Led. He is the, you know, he's like the godfather, right? I mean, yes. He's kind of like the godfather for everything, so... All right, speaking of the Godfathers, we'll come back and we'll get to What's Bugging Chukri here in a few minutes. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
More of the John Chukri Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chukri Show, hanging out in the Key Studios with you on this Friday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Braves continue to lead here 4-0 as they are in the fifth inning right now. So, and believe it or not, Touki Toussaint is pitching for the Chicago White Sox. Former Arizona Diamondback and then Atlanta Brave. So Touki Toussaint getting a chance to throw some relief here against, the Atlanta Braves. So Braves still up 4-0 here, as this should be a clean sweep. How are the Phillies doing? Oh, they're down 8-1. Oh, okay, to the San Diego Padres. Well, the Marlins should be doing good. Oh, yeah, they're down 1-0 already. So what about the Mutts? You know, they're coming. Oh, yeah, they're down 3-0 to the Dodgers. So look at who these three teams are playing in the division. And this is another thing that when you look at level of competition as far as remaining schedule, okay? So the Braves are starting off with the White Sox, who stink, okay? You got the Padres, who still feel like that they're in the playoff hunt with one of the most high-priced rosters in Major League Baseball. The Marlins are playing the Orioles. They've been one of the best teams in all of Major League Baseball, one of the great stories in baseball this year. And the Mutts are taking on the Dodgers, who they're only 51-38 themselves. So again, and by the way, that game is in, what do they call that? It's not Shea anymore. What is it, Citi Field? Isn't it called Citi Field right now? Yeah, yeah. I think that's where the Mutts play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They should call it Field. If we were on a podcast, I would have said the whole thing out there.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah. So that's another thing, too, to look at. Okay, the Dodgers, Padres, and Orioles are taking on the other teams in this division while we've got the suckwad Chicago White Sox. Again, things line up so well for the Atlanta Braves. There are so many things that line up so well for the Braves with how good they've played, the schedule. We talked about, you know, again, they ran a pretty good gauntlet in the first part of the year. Like they had, especially in April and May, they had a pretty good gauntlet of games. They were taking on the Dodgers and Padres and some of these teams. And obviously the Texas Rangers, that was a team that they played in the first half of this year, right? So again, the schedule starts lightening up. And I think I heard Grant McCulley talk about the idea that I think they have, I want to say it's the eighth easiest schedule in the second half of the year based upon the teams that they play. And look, it also is the fact that the Mutts and Marlins and Phillies can't beat the Braves head-to-head. So besides the idea of them picking up a whole bunch of games, playing some of these jabron teams, the Mutts, Phillies, and Marlins can't beat the Braves head-to-head. And if you can't beat those teams, if you can't beat the Braves head-to-head, you're not going to be around in the division very long, which is where they're at now. That's why the division's over, right? Remember we talked about trying to get hot takey?
Yeah.
You know, again, we said this weeks ago, and unfortunately, you know, again, I said this at least 3 weeks ago, that the division was over, and I proclaimed it. And unfortunately, it's coming true, right? I mean, I say that. I'm tongue-in-cheek. But again, it's now it's getting even worse. Now is it not only over, it's been over, and it looks even worse now.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even get hot taking. Like, I couldn't even.
You're too good at
even,
this, John.
I couldn't even throw out my hot takiness like Tommy, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm proven right again.
Yeah, I thought you know too much.
You know, like, hey, I'm going to proclaim the division over, just like Sal Lipskitz, and, you know, I'm going to proclaim it over, and it's going to be done. And then the Braves are just, you know, 40 games out of, you know, above. In first place, and it's like, oh man, I was right again.
Hate being right all the time.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
it's no fun.
It's a burden I carry around with me. So anyway, but Braves are up 4-0 right now. This will be probably a coast, but good to see Touki Toussaint getting some action here for the White Sox. So and kind of keeping the Braves at bay thus far after their starting pitcher. Was knocked out in the first inning. He Kopech lasted 2/3 of an inning with 1 hit and 4 earned runs and 4 walks. How about this line? Okay, 2/3 of an inning, 1 hit, 4 earned runs, 4 walks, no strikeouts, and a home run given up, which was a grand salami. 4 walks and a hit leads to 4 runs. Touki's done the job, though.
Yeah.
4 1/3 innings of 2-hit, no-run baseball with 4 strikeouts. And he's thrown 71 pitches
this
game.
He just struck out Rosario to get out of the inning.
Yeah, to finish off the inning. So, again, you know, he's pitching well. So, good to see. I mean, listen, I don't have any angst about, you know, Touki Toussaint. I mean, it didn't work out here, and he was – What was he? He was part of the Shelby Miller trade, was he not? See, well, where'd they get? Did they get Touki from Arizona, or did they get him in that trade with the Reds? I think it was from Arizona. Was it not part of the Shelby Miller trade? They got Ender Inciarte, and they got Touki Toussaint back in that deal. Did they not for Shelby Miller?
I believe so. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, and Dansby, right? Wasn't it Dansby, Ender Inciarte, and was Touki part of all of that? So I can't remember. But anyway, good to see him back pitching at the major league level, and so far so good. I mean, he's had a pretty good night for the Chicago White Sox. But yeah, their starter was just dreadful. So all right, speaking of being dreadful, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah, so it was the Bronson Arroyo trade that they got Touki Toussaint in. So, okay, so there you go. You know, we saw today that the University of Tennessee got penalties against them. And this goes back to the Jeremy Pruitt era, right? So there were, are you ready for this? Now, again, I know a lot of this stuff is nickel and dime, but there were more than 200 individual infractions committed by the school under the Jeremy Pruitt regime, okay? Now, among the penalties that were handed out, they're placed on 5 years probation. Okay, I guess, you know, okay. So I guess that's a penalty. Let's see here. The 5 years probation and they also have a reduction of 28 scholarships. Okay. I mean, that's maybe a little bit bigger deal, but again, it doesn't necessarily ruin. But here's the thing, okay? So what they did do is they fined them $8 million, and that could push closer to $9 million when all is said and done. Now, they said that the $8 million fine, which was the equivalent to the financial impact the school would have faced if it missed the postseason during the 23 and 24 seasons, is believed to be the largest ever levied in an infractions case. Can I ask a question? Okay, this I'm just spitballing here. Right. I don't know anything. Okay, mm-hmm. What exactly does the NCAA do with that money? So again, remember when they penalized Penn State for all of the Joe Paterno stuff, right? Yes. And the Jerry mm-hmm. Sandusky. Yep. Okay, so they allowed Penn State to go on TV and play in bowl games a year early, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they gave them the scholarships back. Okay, yeah. What'd they not give back?
The money,
the $60 million that they took from Penn State, right?
Yeah.
And now here we go again with here's the NCAA leveling the largest fine, not crushing the program, you know, with 200 infractions. I mean, with all due respect, and again, I know a lot of these kinds of things are nickel and dime, but 200, like, that's not an oversight by your SID. That is blatantly doing the wrong thing. It's sticking it in the eye and not caring what they did. Okay? But, hey, we're going to take their money. They love to take other people's money. Aren't they a nonprofit organization?
Supposed to be.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Oh. What'd they do with the $60 million from Penn State? What are they going to do with this $9 million? See, they love to grab all the money. They don't like the players to have it. They don't like everybody else to have it, but they love to have it. Oh, yeah. Oh, the NCAA? We're going to have a hell of a Christmas party this year. Are you kidding me? We're gonna have a hell of a shindig.
Yep.
Oh, but you know, again, players getting paid. I don't know about all that. Let's drag our feet on all of that.
Amateurism.
Yeah, amateurism. Student athlete. What a farce. What a ridiculous concept. As USC is gonna travel 10,000 miles to play football, but they're student athletes. And I'm going to talk to Matt Mershell coming up at the top of the hour. We talk about this very thing, student athletes. Yeah. But they're keeping the money. I'll guarantee you, Dom, mark my words, okay? In a year or so, they'll give the scholarships back and they'll reduce the penalties. But you know what they won't do? You know what they won't do? They won't give one dime of the $9 million back. They won't give one red nickel of the $9 million back. Just like they didn't with the $60 million that they got from Penn State, even though they gave them the scholarships mm-hmm. and they put them on TV and put them in the postseason a year, all of that stuff. But they won't, I guarantee you, they won't say a bupkis about giving any of the $9 million back.
Oh, no. Listen, John, that money's already spent.
Sure. Of course it is.
They got it. It's already gone.
Of course it is. Again, there's a boat on a river or a lake that's being rented right now. Yeah. What a bunch of malarkey. They'll reduce all the penalties, but you know what they will never do? Give any of the money back. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Matt Mershell talking some college football at the top of the hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature. where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, more of the John Chuckery Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Key Studios with you on this Friday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Braves continue to lead here 4-0 as they are in the fifth inning right now. So, and believe it or not, Touki Toussaint is pitching for the Chicago White Sox. Former Arizona Diamondback and then Atlanta Brave. So, Touki Toussaint getting a chance to throw some relief here against, the Atlanta Braves. So, Braves still up 4-0 here, as this should be a clean sweep. How the Phillies doing? Oh, they're down 8-1. Oh, okay, to the San Diego Padres. Well, the Marlins should be doing good. Oh, yeah, they're down 1-0 already. So, what about the Mets? You know, they're coming. Oh, yeah, they're down 3-0 to the Dodgers. So look at who these three teams are playing in the division. And this is another thing that when you look at level of competition as far as remaining schedule, okay? So the Braves are starting off with the White Sox, who stink, okay? You got the Padres, who still feel like that they're in the playoff hunt with one of the most high-priced rosters in Major League Baseball. The Marlins are playing the Orioles. They've been one of the best teams in all of Major League Baseball, one of the great stories in baseball this year. And the Mets are taking on the Dodgers, who they're only 51-38 themselves. So again, and by the way, that game is in, what do they call that? It's not Shea anymore. What is it, Citi Field? Isn't it called Citi Field right now? So. Yeah, I think that's where the Mets play.
Oh, yeah.
They should call it Field. If we were on a podcast, I would have said the whole thing out there.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah. So that's another thing, too, to look at. Okay, the Dodgers, Padres, and Orioles are taking on the other teams in this division while we've got the suckwad Chicago White Sox. Again, Things line up so well for the Atlanta Braves. There's so many things that line up so well for the Braves with how good they've played, the schedule. We talked about, you know, again, they ran a pretty good gauntlet in the first part of the year. Like they had, especially in April and May, they had a pretty good gauntlet of games. They were taking on the Dodgers and Padres and some of these teams, and obviously the Texas Rangers. That was a team that they played in the first half of this year, right? So, again, the schedule starts lightening up. And I think I heard Grant McCulley talk about the idea that I think they have, I want to say it's the eighth easiest schedule in the second half of the year based upon the teams that they play. And, look, it also is the fact that the Mets and Marlins and Phillies can't beat the Braves head-to-head. So besides the idea of them picking up a whole bunch of games playing some of these jabron teams, the Mets, Phillies, and Marlins can't beat the Braves head-to-head. And if you can't beat those teams, if you can't beat the Braves head-to-head, you're not going to be around in the division very long, which is where they're at now. That's why the division's over, right? Remember we talked about trying to get hot takey? Yeah. You know, again, we said this weeks ago, and unfortunately, you know, again, we said this, I said this at least 3 weeks ago, that the division was over, and I proclaimed it. And unfortunately, it's coming true, right? I mean, I say that. I'm tongue-in-cheek. But again, it's now it's getting even worse. Now is it not only over, it's been over, and it looks even worse now.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even get hot-takey. Like, I couldn't even.
You're too good at
even,
this, John.
I couldn't even throw out my hot-takiness like Tommy, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm proven right again.
Yeah, that's you know too much.
You know, like, hey, I'm going to proclaim the division over just like Sal Lipskitz. And, you know, I'm going to proclaim it over and it's going to be done. And then the Braves are just, you know, 40 games out of, you know, above in first place. And it's like, oh, man, I was right again.
Hate being right all the time.
Yeah, I just, you know.
It's no fun.
It's a burden I carry around with me, so. Anyway, but Braves are up 4-0 right now. This will be probably a coast, but good to see Touki Toussaint getting some action here for the White Sox. So and kind of keeping the Braves at bay thus far after their starting pitcher was knocked out in the first inning. He Kopech lasted 2/3 of an inning with 1 hit and 4 earned runs. And 4 walks. How about this line? Okay. 2/3 of an inning, a hit, 4 earned runs, 4 walks, no strikeouts, and a home run given up, which was a grand salami. 4 walks and a hit leads to 4 runs. Touki's done the job, though.
Yeah.
4 1/3 innings of 2-hit, no run baseball. With 4 strikeouts, and he's thrown 71 pitches this game.
He just struck out Rosario to get out of the inning
to finish off the inning. So, again, you know, he's pitching well. So, good to see. I mean, listen, I don't have any angst about, you know, Touki Toussaint. I mean, it didn't work out here. And he was, what was he? He was part of the Shelby Miller trade, was he not? See, well, where'd they get, did they get Touki from Arizona, or did they get him in that trade with the Reds? I think it was from Arizona. Was it not part of the Shelby Miller trade? They got Ender Inciarte, and they got Touki Toussaint back in that deal. Did they not for Shelby Miller?
I believe so. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, and Dansby, right? Wasn't it Dansby, Ender Inciarte, and was Touki part of all of that? So I can't remember, but anyway, good to see him back pitching at the major league level, and so far so good. I mean, he's had a pretty good night for the Chicago White Sox. But yeah, their starter was just dreadful. So, all right, speaking of being dreadful, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Buggin' Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah, so it was the Bronson Arroyo trade that they got Touki Toussaint in. So, okay, so there you go. You know, we saw today that the University of Tennessee got, you know, got penalties against them. And this goes back to the Jeremy Pruitt era, right? So there were, are you ready for this? Now, again, I know a lot of this stuff is nickel and dime, but there were more than 200 individual infractions committed by the school by under the Jeremy Pruitt regime, okay? Now, among the penalties that were handed out, they're placed on 5 years probation. Okay, I guess, you know, okay. So I guess that's a penalty. Let's see here. The 5 years probation and they also have a reduction of 28 scholarships. Okay. I mean, that's maybe a little bit bigger deal, but again, it doesn't necessarily ruin. But here's the thing, okay? So what they did do is they fined them $8 million, and that could push closer to $9 million when all is said and done. Now, they said that the $8 million fine, which was the equivalent to the financial impact the school would have faced if it missed the postseason during the 23 and 24 seasons, is believed to be the largest ever levied in an infractions case. Can I ask a question? Okay, this I'm just spitballing here. Right. I don't know anything. Okay, mm-hmm. What exactly does the NCAA do with that money? So again, remember when they penalized Penn State for all of the Joe Paterno stuff, right? Yes. And the Jerry mm-hmm. Sandusky? Yep. Okay. So they allowed Penn State to go on TV and play in bowl games a year early, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they gave them the scholarships back. Okay. Yep. What'd they not give back?
The money.
The $60 million that they took from Penn State, right?
Yeah.
And now here we go again with, here's the NCAA leveling the largest fine, not crushing the program, you know, with 200 infractions. I mean, with all due respect, and again, I know a lot of these kinds of things are nickel and dime, but 200, like that's not an oversight by your SID. That is blatantly doing the wrong thing. It's sticking it in the eye and not caring what they did. Okay? But, hey, we're going to take their money. They love to take other people's money. Aren't they a nonprofit organization?
Supposed to be.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Oh. What'd they do with the $60 million from Penn State? What are they going to do with this $9 million? See, they love to grab all the money. They don't like the players to have it. They don't like everybody else to have it, but they love to have it. Oh, yeah. Oh, the NCAA? We're going to have a hell of a Christmas party this year. Are you kidding me? We're going to have a hell of a shindig.
Yep.
Oh, but you know, again, players getting paid. I don't know about all that. Let's drag our feet on all of that.
Amateurism.
Yeah, amateurism. Student athlete. What a farce. What a ridiculous concept. As USC is going to travel 10,000 miles to play football, but they're student athletes. And I'm going to talk to Matt Mershell coming up at the top of the hour. We talk about this very thing. Student athletes. Yeah. But they're keeping the money. I'll guarantee you, Dom. Mark my words, okay? In a year or so, they'll give the scholarships back and they'll reduce the penalties. But you know what they won't do? You know what they won't do? They won't give one dime of the $9 million back. They won't give one red nickel of the $9 million back. just like they did it with the $60 million that they got from Penn State, even though they gave them the scholarships and they put them on TV and put them in the postseason a year, all of that stuff. But they won't, I guarantee you, they won't say a bupkis about giving any of the $9 million back.
Oh, no. That, listen, John, that money's already spent.
Sure. Of course it is.
They got it. It's already gone.
Of course it is. Again, there's a boat on a river or a lake that's being rented right now. Yeah. What a bunch of malarkey. They all, listen, they'll reduce all the penalties, but you know what they will never do? Give any of the money back. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Matt Mershell talking some college football at the top of the hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.